Welcome to the Cashflow Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Cashflow Guys Podcast. I hope you know who this is, and you should know where you are. This is Tyler Sheff, and I am the co-host this week of the Cashflow Guys Podcast. I got Mike back with me. How you doing, brother?
You found me.
I did, and I actually got my microphone working this week. How about that?
You've got that voice again.
Well, the MacBook doesn't help. I mean, last week, so you would have got a laugh watching me record the podcast last week, trying to get halfway decent sound. I had my face buried in the microphone for the MacBook, so I looked like I was licking the keyboard.
Did you? It sounded all right, though. I listened to it.
That's what I said. Lance had listened to it, and he was like, "Ah, you know, it sounded pretty good as you got going." I'm like, "Ah, it's because I probably got so tired that I just put my forehead on the screen." Picked up a nice sound box reverb or something. I don't know what was going on, but... So, busy. Lots going on outside of the real estate space. And that's kind of one of the things I want to talk about this week, Mike. I thought we'd go over something that we've both been talking about. You've heard me complain and whatnot over what's going on with inflation, right? I've been up here in the Tampa area now for a little bit. I'm getting ready to head back to Key West next month. And one of the things that has stung me is that I'm not used to paying for fuel. Living in Key West, it's a walkable town. I live right downtown, half a block off of Duval Street. I'm like two blocks from Captain Tony's. I don't have to ever drive a car anywhere. I walk everywhere I go, which is a lovely thing. Now I'm up here in Tampa for the last few months to work, opening up to getting this new business underway that's actually going to open down in the Keys. And fuel has become a real concern. And I'm paying right now. I think I paid today $3.45 a gallon. And guys, those of you at home, I have a 38 gallon tank in my truck.
Has gas been going up in Florida?
Oh yeah, it's off the chain.
Yeah, I mean, I was just gone for 5 days. I come back and it's gone up by about 30 cents in town.
That's insane.
5 days.
Yeah, that's 10%, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So that's one I want to talk about this week, Mike, is that one of the, and here's just kind of a backstory. So one of the reasons that we've been successful with our vacation rental business is that we have repeat guests, which means we don't have to donate to the Airbnb machine or the Vrbo machine like most people do. We've been at it for many years. We were one of the early people that got on with Airbnb and all that, and that's helped us to build a book of business. And what we've done over the years is nurture those people by sending them emails, not every month, but about once a quarter, reminding them that we're here. When we do things to add value, we share that with them in the form of a newsletter to former guests. The one like, "Hey, apartment B over at such and such street got a new refrigerator and we're redoing the floors, and landscapers just came by today and it's a crisp spring day here in Florida. It's 78 degrees today in February, March, early March." Meanwhile, everybody in the snow is like, "Oh my God." So the benefit of that is, it keeps people coming back where I don't have to share with a booking channel. People book direct with us. We don't have to pay any extra fees. But this year and the last several years, I have experienced a exponential price increases on my expenses. This past year, my property tax went up 35%.
Wow.
My insurance went up 30%. The cost of electricity has gone up. The internet bill has gone up. I had to pay my people more money, my team that works at these properties, keeping them clean and all that, all these apartments. And it's been tough. My maintenance man wound up getting a job doing something else because he wasn't making enough money as a maintenance man. So he went and got a real job. So now I'm down a maintenance man and I've had to pay more to get maintenance done than I did before. And I'm a guy that actually paid him extra than what they told me they wanted. But the downside of that is that these people that some of these vendors, they were not doing a good job of getting what they're worth. In other words, if I hire someone to do something and I say, "How much is it to replace that door lock?" And they say $100, then I'm going to give them $100. I'll probably give them 120 as a tip, right? But if it really costs them, they don't know the cost, their cost to really put that lock in. And somebody say, "Well, your cost is nothing because all you got to do is walk across the street and you put a lock in." How much cost is that? Well, there's a lot of cost for that. There's fuel to get there. There's time. There's the experience, the training to learn how to install the lock and yada, yada, yada. So a guy or girl that doesn't know their net, what their worth is to do a job is automatically destined to fail. And I think that's what happened to my handyman. I'm seeing a lot of that in what's going on in the world. Mike, you're going through a rocky time right now at the airline. And you were just telling me a story I kind of want to share with the audience about your interviewing with a new airline because your airline is out on the way out the door. We're not going to necessarily name drop anybody, but your airline, you got some new news from your union that I thought the people at home would like to hear.
Yeah. So my airline is having a major financial difficulty. The news is talking about bankruptcy. I don't know if it's going to come to that, but it's everything is kind of on the rocks, and it's we're not the only ones. A lot of the non-major airlines, the JetBlues, the Frontiers, the Spirits, they're struggling right now. The Breeze is the new guys are starting to ramp up just because they have room to expand. But the kind of middle of the grounds, not the majors, not the Deltas, the United's, Americans, everybody else is really struggling, stopping hiring. And so things are a bit scary right now. It's bizarre. So I just got noticed 2 days ago that in the midst of all this, the possible words of furlough being mentioned, that the union came out and said, we're going to start negotiating for a pay raise. And I'm asking everybody I'm flying with, I'm like, what? Well, how come we're not fighting for like our jobs? We're fighting for more pay. But it comes down to what we're talking about, inflation. You know, those who are senior enough in the airline, they know that they're safe from furlough. So they're looking out for themselves. And they're saying, well, you know, gas is going up, insurance.
Sure.
Taxes are going up. So we need a pay raise in order to keep up with our standard of living that we've been keeping for all this time.
Right.
So what is that going to come to? Maybe the detriment of the whole company itself. I mean, if you look back to other airlines, Braniff, People's Express, we talked about People's Express with you.
I remember that, yeah.
Buffalo. It was the union that eventually killed them because the same thing. During the 80s with the inflation, massive inflation, they were striking for a pay raise. People's Express expanded too fast. They couldn't afford it. And
down they went.
Grumbled. And nobody picked up those pieces, by the way.
That's true. I get why they're doing the pay raise. Their timing isn't great. You know, I guess the union's job is to make sure it does its best to take care of its workers. But when you have an airline that's literally balancing on a razor thin balance where they can just, one domino falls and the whole airline's belly up, probably not the greatest time to start messing with the balance sheet.
Speaking of balance sheet, so obviously public companies, it's available. So the fourth quarter of last year, I was looking at it, the highest line item was labor. More than fuel with labor. Wow. So you know what they're looking at.
Right.
And I'm sure this is probably very common throughout most of corporate America right now. And probably those listeners that the company you work for, you're probably the highest line item on that expense list.
That's right.
And we're still struggling.
When the thing is, you know, they can give UPS, they just gave a 40% across the board pay raise to UPS this year. Meanwhile, over in the white trucks, FedEx did not get anywhere near that kind of pay raise. UPS is union. FedEx is not. Now, I am not necessarily a fan of unions. I just don't. I think they abused what they're put there for in the first place.
And you were a union steward.
I was a union steward when I worked for NOAA, yes. And I thought too many people manipulated the contract to use it as a fear-based way of, I guess, quasi-negotiating. And that's one of the things I don't like about unions is I don't like the tactics that they use, but I do believe in a good agreement between parties. You and I are going to do something. We're going to write it down, kind of like we have with our real estate fund, and we're going to have a set of rules and we're both going to follow them. And that's how it goes. And then when, as we've noticed, as long as we stick to that, we don't have any problems. That's why we get along so well, right? We got a set of rules. It's called all of our corporate documents dictate what we said we're going to do and we stick to it. What I'm seeing here is that we have a two thumbs up for the unions for wanting to negotiate your pay, but there also needs to be a little bit of logic in there. You guys, the bigger question is, I'd be negotiating your furlough packages is what I'd be negotiating, because the other thing is that your airline is in risk of furlough this summer is what we talked about. And that would probably be something better, make more sense to negotiate for. What I'm seeing now, as I'm building these businesses down on the Keys and I'm looking at all the different service businesses, and when you get in these funnels and you start reading what the problems are of HVAC companies and plumbers and electricians and the trades in general, many of them don't consistently raise their prices.
Oh.
Kind of like the airlines, the pilots that are not unionized, right? You got the private pilots. They're not part of any union, right? They're just on their own. They got it in their under the boot of whoever owns the airplane or gives them their flights or whatever. And they have a lot of turnover in that part of the industry. And that's one of the reasons those guys are starving to death. A lot of them anyway, not all of them, but a lot of them. What I'm seeing in the, on the trade side of the equation is many, many, many companies that are home service businesses and trade companies and like this, they did not raise their prices over all these years. They're mom and pop type businesses where they're like, well, I'm just going to keep doing things the way I've been doing them for all these years. And now the snowball is coming down the mountain. And it's that snowball's inflation. I'm like, I'm sure you've seen inflation there in Salida, out there in Colorado, you and your little bedroom community out there in Paradise, Colorado, doing your thing. I've seen it in Key West here in the Tampa market. Well, I've been in Tampa here for a few months. It's out of control. And that what I hear when I watch the news and what you see on TV, and this is what scares me. And I'm curious what you think your feedback is on this, because you spend a lot of time traveling around the country. People seem to be kind of clueless and they think that an election will solve this problem that, oh, this is only temporary. When things go back to the way they usually are, is a lot of what I'm hearing. Are you hearing that?
I'm hearing those dreams anyway. I also hear a lot of, unfortunately, I think the media is starting it. Inflation is the inflation of the money supply, not so much the increase of overall prices, which can be manipulated.
Right.
And the money supply is the root cause, which goes to the Federal Reserve and politics and everything like that. But of course, people want to point the finger somewhere else, that it was Putin or Russia or something.
Yeah, or exactly. Ukraine. Everybody's fault. The thing, though, is that what I'm seeing, and this is my belief, and you guys can tell me I'm crazy, whatever, but I believe that we are being conditioned, being trained to pay what we're paying now. If you would go buy a bottle of water 2 years ago, it might have cost you $1.50. Now that same bottle of water is like $2.95. You buy it at a movie theater, it's $8.95. You buy it in Key West, it's $15. And yes, they take Visa. But they'll charge you a 3% to swipe the debit card or the credit card. The problem is that wages have not kept up. I was listening on the radio this morning, and this, I don't know if she's an intern or just a DJ, but she was whining about the fact that she has to work two other jobs in order to keep working as a DJ. And the other DJ said, then why the hell are you still a DJ? Why are you working three jobs in order to survive? Well, because I like this job. I see. So she chooses to have fun, but not really do much else, and then blames everybody else for the problem. I see a lot of that in America. Oh, why did you buy a new house? What was wrong with the old house? Well, nothing, but we needed more space. Now that the kids are out of the house, we wanted more space. That's counterintuitive. Now that the kids are out of the house, you should need less space. So maybe you would sell said big house and get smaller house. That's what the logical people would do, but not here in America. America, we want it all, and our cake and eat it too. My fear, Mike, is that people are looking at the world through rose-colored glasses right now. People are still buying rental properties, and I just saw one the other day. A wholesaler had a duplex close in a shit neighborhood, pardon my French, for $375,000 for a one-bedroom, two one-bedroom, one-bath duplexes in Pinellas Park, Florida, which those of you from the Tampa Bay area know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a hole. I mean, the biggest scumbags on the planet won't even hang out there. It's such a hole. It's like the Redneck Riviera times 10. And some fool is out there paying $375 for a duplex. And it was a private party sale. It wasn't BlackRock, guys. That property is never going to cash flow. That guy is going to be broke. And I looked it up. They used a FHA loan. Or I'm sorry, no, they used a conventional 95% loan. My bad. So they only put 5% into the game. It's a mess from the inside out. It needs one of everything, actually needs two of everything because it's duplex. And that person is financially screwed. And people just keep doing it to themselves. Thoughts on that?
Why do you think people buy that? Do you think it's desperation?
I think because we've been conditioned that we're supposed to keep doing whatever we keep, all the dumb stuff we keep doing over and over again. We're being trained right now that it's $3 a gallon or more for gas is how much it costs. We're being trained that a good steak at the grocery store, not at the restaurant, a decent steak is never going to be less than $15 to $20. Never.
That's right, yeah.
You will not see a ribeye at any grocery store, at least in the state of Florida that I've been in lately, less than $15. If you do, it's probably rotten.
Wow.
Well, ribeye, for example, was the average ribeye was $4 to $7 just a few years ago. I believe we're being conditioned that these are the new normal. And somebody somewhere, these people are sitting there thinking to themselves, oh, don't worry, ribeye will once again be $4. No, no, it won't. Why would it be?
So $3.50 for a crappy duplex is the new normal. So, oh, that's probably a good deal. Let's buy it without doing the numbers, without looking at the zoning, probably, of what they could possibly do with it.
Right. Oh, we're going to house hack it. Mm. Or we're going to, what do you call it? Co-live it.
Co-living. Yeah, that's right. You were talking about Tampa is huge
last week
on co-living and the city trying to kill it too.
That's right. So for those of you out there that are business owners, you at least have the ability to change your income relatively easy by changing your pricing. Doesn't matter whether you're home service, you're an attorney. Here's a good example. I know attorneys that have been charging the same hourly rate as long as I've known them. That's insanity to me. Yet I know service businesses that have taken their labor rate from $60 all the way up to just about $250 in the last 2-3 years without any problem. Yes, it is a slippery slope. Sometimes it hurts your feelings to have to continue to raise your prices. But here, know this. Everybody around you, every vendor you buy from, every grocery store you go to, every gas pump you visit, is going to raise prices no matter what. So you can sit there and pretend to be honorable and I'm just not going to gouge anybody. Or you can consistently and aggressively raise your pricing until the point people say no. Because if you don't and you're in business for yourself, you're not going to stay in business. Mike, why is Spirit in the trouble it's in? What's the one reason?
They haven't changed their price.
That's right. They're the low-cost leader. And the low-cost leader will always fail. Now, funny, not really a funny story. It's kind of pathetic. But last week, I was reading this guy's post he was talking about on Facebook. And it was for, I believe it was for HVAC. Hey, is anybody else slow out there? I'm really slow, have been for the last month or two. All I've been doing is cleaning and organizing my truck. And I thought to myself, you dumbass. You're slow. You're an HVAC. Heating, ventilation, air conditioning. He's in the state of Florida and he's slow. It's like, well, dude, I got news for you. In Florida, when you don't need AC, you need heat.
Yeah.
So instead of marketing and getting more business, he's sitting home organizing his truck over and over and over again.
And meanwhile, blaming it on the customers.
Right.
He's getting no business. Yeah.
Meanwhile, his competition, even though his competition doesn't have competition because he's busy organizing his tools in his truck one more time, his competition has raised the rates exponentially to keep in pace with inflation. And they've taken a portion of that money and they've invested it in their marketing and their systems such that they can reach a larger audience and get more business. And those people are killing it. They are essentially recession proof because they're pacing or outpacing, better yet, and the rate of inflation.
So service businesses that know how to market and know how to increase their prices. Because from what you've been seeing, nobody's barking about the price increases of services.
No. They do. They bark about it maybe a little bit, but they still pay it because you know what? They need it.
Mm-hmm. They need to cook that $25 steak.
That's right. And every day, a buddy of mine sells cars up the road at the Ford dealership. And you know right now you can buy a 3/4-ton Ford truck like mine, and it's a 6-figure purchase decked out. 6 figures. Wow. For a depreciating asset. And they have no problem selling them.
For over $100,000.
Over $100,000 for a pickup truck.
Unreal.
Yeah. Guys, 2024 is here. If you are working for an employer and that employer hasn't raised its rates, if it hasn't bumped your pay, if you haven't done something else to be better at what you do for a living, I don't care whether you have a job or you're self-employed. This is the time to go out and be exceptional because you're going to have to be in a position to earn more money to outpace this. Because waiting it out, waiting for someone else to get elected isn't going to change the situation. because the situation is so screwed up and has been headed this way for more than one presidency, more than probably 3 decades, 4 decades. This is the new normal. It's not going to get any better. So you're going to have to figure out a way to out-earn this. Mike, you're changing airlines. And when you do, you're going to see a pretty healthy pay increase. That's smart. You're stepping up what you're doing with investing. You're continuing to invest where it makes sense for you. We don't give investment advice here in this podcast, so we won't go into particulars on that. But other folks that we talk to, they're branching out into different things. Some of them are looking at gold. People that were invested in Bitcoin that were crying in their Cheerios 6 months ago are now pretty happy because Bitcoin is up to 60 some thousand. I am one of those people. I am pretty freaking tickled pink that Bitcoin took back off again, and I no longer am at a loss. I'm at a positive.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah, that was pretty quick. So that feels pretty good. Now, I don't have a whole lot of money invested in Bitcoin, but I also don't like losing money of any value, of any amount versus, you know. So now I'm back in the green, which is good. So we'll probably go ahead and think about liquidating at some point in the future. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure when that'll be. Some people say, God, don't ever sell. It'll be worth a mint. The bottom line is we all have to get proactive about preparing for the new normal, preparing for what is beyond our control. Mike, your cost of owning your home is going to go up, even though you have a fixed rate interest rate mortgage.
Yeah. And as Americans, we're used to a very high standard of living.
Yes.
And I've noticed we are refusing to lower it, even That's though correct. The environment is forcing us to lower it. For instance, in my town, Salida, Colorado, just like everywhere else, they've just been barking about affordable housing. We need affordable housing. Well, we finally got some affordable housing built. They're small. They're like 300 square feet, little studios, but they're affordable, right? There's nobody in line for these things. A lot of them are tiny homes, actually. I think, yeah, we were just reading online that Salida's getting like the largest tiny home community in the country.
In the country.
There's no waiting list for these things. Why? I think it's because, you know, people are used to driving, like you said, F-250s.
That's
They're
right.
used to living in, you know, at least 2,000 square feet of homes. And that was great a few years ago.
Right.
But it's really hard to reduce our standard of living to match the cost of living. And I think that's that growing pains we're feeling now. It's that transition. You know, I don't want to say that we're going to be living in, dresser drawers like in, you know, Japan. Remember that Seinfeld episode?
Seinfeld.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Hopefully we don't get to that point. But we're inching closer to that. So, you know, like you said, $100,000 for an F-250. Maybe it's time that we start driving smaller cars. I know it's going to be hard. Most people are cursing me right now. Maybe it's time to accept that living in a smaller house is okay.
Right.
You live in a small place. I live in a small place. You get used to it pretty quick and you kind of manage and it's not so bad. But, and now, well, my heating bill for this 600 square foot house is $50
in the winter exactly. time. Yeah.
I'm sure your cooling bill in your small place in Key West is shockingly cheap compared to what you're used to.
On average, about $60 a month for electric and $25 for water.
Yeah. And you're right next to Duval Street. There's no shame in saying you live in a small place on Duval Street.
People come by my house. They're like, damn, I want to live here. This is unbelievable, the location. Now, people also come in there and go, I could never live here. It's too small. But for us, it's about being in the community and being location, 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 right? So it makes total sense.
Yeah. And, you know, Ken McElroy, probably heard a few, like last week, he was talking about the new wave in real estate he predicts is going to be in this migrant, I hate to call it invasion, like some people do, but it's a huge influx in population from other countries coming across the border. And they need very, very affordable housing.
It's funny you mention that because there are landlords already doing this in New York City where they're opening not for profits and they're subleasing old dilapidated hotels and whatnot that are vacant, and they're striking contracts with the city in some cases as much as $300 a night for four walls. no furniture. I mean, the city is providing mattresses and everything else. So there's no joke. There is a large number of developers and investors out there making a flipping fortune off of the immigrant crisis. I mean, somebody's got to. So, hey, I guess more power to them. But
and the city's paying.
And the city's paying the bill. The government's just printing that money and giving it to them. So, you know, these things are going to continue to exacerbate inflation. My prediction is I think the city of New York will probably be bankrupt and in receivership within the next 24 months. That's my prediction.
24 months.
Yeah, they're already running at a massive deficit. I mean, mind-blowing deficit. Police officers are quitting in droves. The police retirement account for the retirement program for the city of New York for police and firefighters and teachers is essentially bankrupt. Wow. They're paying. They don't have the people that are in that system. The people that have not yet retired, there is no pension for them. But of course, the city hasn't made that public yet, although it's out there. And I've actually looked at their formularies and all that, and they're screwed. Sad.
So you're saying all the NYPD retirees that have moved to Texas, banking on their huge retirement checks, are in for a surprise, huh?
Less than 10 years, they will be bankrupt, those retirement programs. The state of California teachers' pension, 8 years from being bankrupt. So what's going to happen is the level of poverty, I think, in America is going to exacerbate. I think communities that are decent now are going to turn into dumps really quick. The concerns about Key West, because everybody wants to come to Key West. We have a major homeless population problem in Key West. I know you have it in Salida. The good news is at least it gets cold enough in Salida that they all run away for part of the year.
Oh, yeah. They usually go to Denver and sleep on the Capitol Hill grounds.
Right. But now they can't sleep there anymore because the migrants took over.
That's right.
Unbelievable. So, guys, to kind of wrap this up, put a bow on it. If you're a business owner, now is the time to start raising your prices. You're going to have to generate more revenue. If you're an employee, now is the time to go get additional skills. I'm not saying go get a college degree, but get better at what you do. Ask to switch off hourly and go on commission. Anybody that has the ability to be on commission in today's day and age and isn't, I think it's foolish. I don't care if you don't have the ability to sell, learn. Sign up for the Sandler sales system. That's one of the ones I took years and years and years ago, 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I signed up for a Sandler sales system. It changed my life. It took me from being an average person to a serious closer. That the skills I learned in that one program, guys, have pretty much made me most of the money I've made in my life. Get out there, read books, take massive action. And more importantly, have a great year. Have a great rest of the week. See you back next week, Mike.
I'll be here.
All right. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up right there. Don't want to be all doom and gloom, but it's time to wake up. It's time to take massive action and do something different than you did last year, because this is all going to happen with or without you. It's going to either run over you or you're going to be able to ride the wave on a surfboard. It's up to you. Guys, we'll catch up with you next week and we will see you then.
This concludes today's episode. You don't have to wait till the next episode to learn to earn.
Head over to cashflowguys.com and contact Tyler and his team for more powerful tips and ideas so you can start generating multiple streams of income and escape the rat race.